get back to our study. I think we had, of course, we had been in 1 John chapter, was it 4, 5? I can't remember now. 4, yeah, 4. Yeah, and, you know, and so we talked about, you know, that, and so it kind of led us off into this, the charismatic movement and all that. And so we had been, we had read chapter 12, I think it was, of 1 Corinthians, right? And then the time ran out before we could even get to chapter 13. And so I'd like to read maybe the last couple of three verses of chapter 12 and go on to chapter 13. In verse 28 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "And God has set some," not all, "some in the church, first apostles," and he's given some order here for some reason, I think. First apostles, that tells me the apostles are probably the chiefest or more important, or I don't know if important is the right word, but come first before the prophets. Secondary prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, after those three, miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps and governments, diversities of tongues. And he misses tongues last, whatever. I think that's where it most needs to be last, okay? Because you'll see in these other chapters, he doesn't put a lot of importance on it, if you ask me, okay? And so we're going to read all these chapters, though. And so verse 29, it says, "Are all apostles?" It's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is no. "Are all prophets?" Well, no. "Are all teachers?" Well, no. "Are all workers of miracles?" No. "Have all the gifts of healing?" Well, no. "Do all speak with tongues?" No. "Do all interpret?" No. So the obvious answer is to those is no. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious, okay? But he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And notice these words, "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." So there's a more excellent way that he's speaking of here, right? And of course, we know that in the next chapter, love is the greatest of all these gifts. Now, when we read chapter 13, I want you to pay real close attention. I'm going to try my best, okay? Anyway, he says, and you've heard this man preached at weddings and everything else in the world, right? But the whole point of this chapter is these spiritual gifts, really, okay? He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men." So he mentions tongues here. And we're going to go back on, we're going to tear all this apart, I think, again, if the Lord willing, or, you know, if it works out that way, and discuss all these things in a finer details, all right? But we all know that tongues means language, right? So he said tongues of men. Well, that would be languages of men. And I think later in another chapter he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of angels." So maybe there is a language that angels have that none of us know. I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah, maybe so. Yeah, men and of angels. That's right, you're right, exactly right. Okay, but I don't know why I thought it was somewhere else, but maybe not. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or tingling cymbal." So if a man doesn't have the love of God, he can do all this stuff, and you know, it doesn't mean nothing other than he's a tinkling cymbal. And we've been talking about love a lot in these chapters, and especially in 1 John, right? And you mentioned all about this brotherly love this morning. "And though I have the gifts of prophecy," so he's talking about the prophecy, "and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith," so he's talking about a special faith here, "so that I could remove mountains." Remember Jesus said, if you have the faith that's a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, "Cast into the sea." So he says, "Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing." So again, charity is the chief gift. He's going to mention several gifts here, but charity is the number one gift. "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." You can't get any that, you fulfill the law if you can do that. He says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So it seems like here that a man could give all his stuff and thinking he's working his way to heaven or something, or look what I've done, but it's not done out of just pure love, then it's nothing, right? So that's what he says. He says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, if it wasn't done just out of love, it profited me nothing. Doesn't amount to much or nothing. Charity suffereth long. When you love, put up with a lot, don't you? You know, when somebody does you wrong, if you really love them, you don't strike back. You don't say, you know, talk bad about them, you know, and try to get back at them. But you just read, vengeance belongs to the heart, you know, all that. Charity suffereth long. It means it suffers. Long temperance, I guess you might, you know, suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. So when we love, we don't envy other people's stuff or what they have or envy anything. Charity vaunteth not itself. Look at me, right? It's not puffed up. And that word vaunteth not itself, boast. In other words, charity doesn't boast. When you do things out of love, you don't boast about it. Or you shouldn't. If we start boasting about it, it's, look what I've done, and not, I just love them. Anyway. And I know this doesn't have a lot to do with these gifts, but it kind of does, I guess. So charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's kind of like the same what we just read in the previous verse, you know. So charity doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Oh. You know, when I always think about this, you know, when somebody does something to you and makes you mad and you get angry, it's probably more pride than anything. You know, I don't know. You know, if somebody hits you, it might hurt. If somebody hits you in the face, that hurts, but is it more you striking back because of pride? You know, I don't think it'd be wrong to say, hey, brother, that hurt. You know, but you understand what I'm saying. So it's not easily provoked to anger. Thinketh no evil. You know, a lot of times I think they did that, or I think that. You know, the best thing to do is, you know, if you don't know, don't think evil about them. You know, I can think certain people might do this and not do that, you know, and I can imagine things that they haven't done even. You know, that's easy to do. Well, you know, the way they act, I bet you they've been doing this, and I bet you they've been doing that. Do you really know that? Well, no. Charity, love to that person doesn't think evil. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Man. Ain't no need to put rejoices in the truth. So if we have the love of God in us, we ought to rejoice in the truth. And you see people, and I get sidetracked on this one too, that hate the doctrines that are in this Bible. But yet it says if they have love, they will rejoice in the truth. Wouldn't you think? Some of these scriptures in here that people hate, well, if they had love, shouldn't they rejoice in it? I think they're worthy of to be rejoiced in. But anyway, it says here, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, charity does, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So charity endures things, right? Verse 8. And I think this is where we need to start paying some pretty close attention to these final few verses. Charity never faileth. The word faileth there means to fall off or cease. Okay? It's not, so that's the idea. In other words, this gift of love will never go away. Some of these other gifts are going to cease. Right? But this is the one gift that will never cease. And this, right now, forever. When we're with God forever, this is the one gift that will never cease. We'll have love of God, and He'll have love of us, and there'll be love for all eternity. But these other gifts will all go away, really. We'll see. So he says here, charity never faileth. And so the word fail there means to cease. But whether they be tongues, they shall fail. I'm sorry. Well, I read that wrong. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. What does that mean? Does that mean that a prophecy of the Lord won't come true? Let's say the Lord gives Isaiah a prophecy. Does that mean it's going to fail and not come true? No, that's not what the idea here. This has not the idea that the prophecy given is going to fail, but that the gift of prophecy will cease. So he says, where they be prophecies, they shall fail. This is the same word. In fact, whether they be tongues, they shall cease. This is all this, and notice, whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That is, that word vanish away is the same Greek word as fail for prophecies. So whether they be prophecies, the gift of prophecies given, they shall cease or go away. Okay? They're going to go away. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. That gift of tongues is going to cease sometime. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, see, that's the same as fail or cease. It's going to go away. Now, this word knowledge here, does that mean that eventually all spiritual knowledge is going to go away? Is that what that means? In other words, when knowledge goes away, we're going to be spiritually stupid? Does that mean in heaven we're going to be idiots? Well, that's right. So this knowledge here has nothing to do with having spiritual knowledge. You know, as I mentioned last Sunday, I remember Brother Wayne Camp was teaching on this, and that apostolic guy over there on Lockhart Road started laughing. He says, they put a man on the moon. How can he say knowledge vanished away? They got, that's not what this is talking about. But this is receiving special knowledge, okay? Straight from God. Like we talked about last Sunday, Peter received knowledge that Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Spirit. I don't know that sort of stuff. I can't. Brother Keith, I don't have knowledge where you were this morning. Brother Keith, I know where you went this morning. You shouldn't have gone there. No, I don't have that. I don't have any idea about that. But some had that gift, right? Or they might have had, they might have been given a gift of knowledge that wasn't revealed in these scriptures yet. You see, that's the thing here, okay? But he said, eventually that's going to vanish away. And I'm going to cover all this again, hopefully, okay? But I want to read through it. Notice, he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, he didn't say we tongue in part because, they might have had knowledge, right? Knowledge was revealed to them, but the whole body of truth wasn't revealed to them. They didn't have this, right? Okay. They might have had prophecies given, but they don't have the whole of it. Now, how would a tongue be in part? That don't even make sense. But you notice tongues is sandwiched between these two. He said tongues, whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Right? And so he says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So something's going to come about in which the gift of prophecy, the special gift of prophecy, and I understand that we can prophesy in the sense that we can tell what's in here and say that. But, brother, I don't have the gift to tell you that tomorrow morning, Brother Keith, such and such is going to come to your house and blah, 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 whatever. I don't have that gift. And no one here has that gift. We've already mentioned that. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, what's in part? Well, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So that's the part for it. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So that means that when that which is perfect has come, knowledge is going to vanish away, prophecy is going to vanish away, and tongues are going to vanish away. You can't get around it. Okay? Either that or that which is perfect. If tongues is still in existence, and these guys out there can prophesy, then that which is perfect has come, hasn't come. Now, they say that's the second coming of Jesus. Well, really? I don't think so, but anyway, that's my opinion. That which is perfect is going, that which is partial then. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I pulled away childish things. What's the childish things he put away? Wayne Camp, you might remember he told this story, and I thought it was a pretty good analogy. He said, when I was a kid, I had a stick horse. You know what a stick horse is? You younger kids, you don't know what a stick horse is, but back when I was a kid, we had stick horses. It was a little stick, a little rod, and it had a horse head on it, right? It had a little thing, and you put it between your legs, and you could gallop around like that and all that, you know? He had a stick horse, right? And he said, that stick horse was important to me. And it probably was beneficial to his childhood. And there's a lot of things that are beneficial to our childhood, but when we became a man, we put away a lot of that stuff, didn't we? He said, I didn't need that stick horse no more. But when I was a child, I needed that stick horse. And I thought that was pretty good. I mean, there's probably maybe a better analogy over that, but I thought that was pretty good. At the time, it stuck in my mind anyhow. Yeah, okay. So he says here, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, and you know that word complete? Though that word perfect means to complete or manhood. Go look the word up. I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, what is then? Face to face. Face to face with who? Now I know in part. Now here you go. Now I know in part. He's just talking about we know in. Didn't he mention that in the previous verses up there? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For now we see through our glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, when all this is still in existence, when Paul's writing this, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And here's the kicker. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. That word abideth means is the opposite of seat. In other words, these cease. Tongues cease, prophecy cease, all these cease. But now there's a time when there's three gifts going to abide: faith, hope, and charity. But he says the greatest of these is charity. Well, why? Because he said earlier, charity never fails. It's never going to cease. Hope, I can prove to you, and we'll do it eventually. Hope and faith will cease. He says it. And when he gives you the definition of hope, why, if we have that which we hope for, why do we yet hope for it? If I see with my own eyes Jesus Christ, I don't have faith in him. Okay. Now getting back to when I was a child, I spake. Okay, I'm sorry. For now we see through a glass, and we're gonna go cover this again. Now I might go read something real quick, and then we'll come back to it. But I want to read chapter 2. Okay. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." When he says glass, is he talking about a window? Is he talking about a window like that over there, and I'm looking through it and I see somebody else on the other side? Now we sing a song a lot. When we're with Jesus, we'll see him face to face. But are they talking about this verse? I hope not, because I don't think that's what this is talking about. Okay.
that was the case, and what he's saying, if you don't speak in tongues, you're lost. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't speak in tongues. But Paul said, you don't speak in tongues. So he should have known, but Paul, he was always going to be wrong. Anyway, I'm running off already. There are, it may be so, many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, that word barbarian means someone of a foreign language. Okay, so if I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm like a foreigner. Okay, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what's the most important thing here. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. It'd be better to pray and sing in words that we can understand. So, if we came in here and sang a song in Japanese, if none of us know Japanese, it should edify us. And those are the guys singing, I don't know. if he's no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Okay. Gosh, no, if there's no interpreter, he needs to shut up. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak by two or three